Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are glad to have you here over these 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. A happy Halloween to all of you. Let's get spooky. Let's go trick-or-treating. And let's recap a wild ending to the 2024 World Series. A World Series champion has been crowned in the Bronx. It's the Los Angeles Dodgers. But an inning of defensive baseball that the New York Yankees, one of the most prestigious franchises in all of sports, will remember in a terrible way for the rest of their franchise history. Potentially the worst inning of baseball with the circumstances we have ever seen DRS in MLB playoff history. How the World Series came to a close in game number 5, specifically a breakdown of that disastrous fifth inning defensively for the Pinstripes, and everything you need to know as we also get you set for a new week in the National Football League. Week number 9 starts tonight, Thursday Night Football, a game the Jets must win once again. Will they? We'll debate. DRS, what a three-hour show we have in store.
Wore the Dodger blue today, congratulating. Well, I'm not going to congratulate the Dodgers, but I just threw on this nice little jacket for the occasion today on Halloween. But it is a shame that the World Series, Ben, is over, because there's a lot of superstars, a lot of fun. But also, if you're Anthony Volpe, how did this happen, Ben? You went from never paying for a meal in your life in New York City for the rest of your life to you will pay for everybody's meal for the rest of your life for that terrible error, which then compounded the Judge error, which then compounded I'm not going to cover first base, which you had a 5-0 lead, which blew at that point. But unbelievable in the Bronx last night. I thought we were headed for Friday Night Baseball, but here we are. We'll get to that and much, much more. So many topics to talk about today on a Halloween edition of the Early Line.
Of all the defensive miscues to highlight in the fifth, you start with the Jersey kid and a lifelong Yankees fan.
Jeter already erased his number. Yeah, Jeter already erased his number, by the way. That's what I heard.
That is pretty fair. Listen, I'm sorry to say for our fans of the Bronx Bombers or the backers out there, there will be a lot of slander coming the Yankees' way, and I don't necessarily think New York fans will disagree. Let's recap game number 5, the conclusion of a World Series. For the 8th time in franchise history, the Los Angeles Dodgers stand atop MLB, their second World Series in the last 5 years. If you say the 2020 World Series is slightly tainted because it was a sprint of a season, fine. First full season World Series title for the Dodgers since 1988 in historic comeback fashion, winning game number 5, DRS, 7-6 in the Bronx over the Yanks, taking care of business when it mattered most. We will recap that disastrous fifth inning all throughout this opening hour on the Early Line. But Donnie, if you give the best team in baseball multiple opportunities to expose your mistakes, the Dodgers will do that. And they did last night inside Yankee Stadium.
Absolutely. You can't. It's the same thing in every single sport. You can't give good teams extra chances and opportunities to come back. 5-0. And also, Ben, we had the game tied up 5-0. The bottom of the 6th inning, Yankees came right back and took the lead. How many times do we see in college football, right? You're down 24-3. You tie it up at 24. You just can't get over the hump. You expend all your energy and the other team wins, only to have the top of the 8th inning, 2 runs played by the Los Angeles Dodgers and sealing it up. Yeah. And they got some great bullpen performances late in that game to shut down that lineup one more time on the Yankees. devastating. Again, I'm a baseball fan. It's a shame because I was looking forward to Friday night baseball in Los Angeles. Yeah. Game number 6 would have been so much fun. So many superstars, so many ways to bet. It's a shame that it only ended in 5 games, but it felt like it was a great World Series, even though it was only 5 games.
NDRS, that would have been history for the Yankees. This was the 23rd best of 7 World Series. A team held a 3-0 series advantage. Now all 23 end by at least 5 games. 19 of the 23 were a clean sweep. The Yankees were that close. The Dodgers were the outright favorites entering the Fall Classic at minus 122. LA, for a good majority of this year, expected to win a World Series crown with this roster. Without offensive lineup, they come through when it matters most in October. All right, we'll get back to the World Series again for a lengthy portion of this opening hour, but let's fly through the other headlines around sports. NBA action, DRS. A homecoming for LeBron James and his son, Bronny James, last night in Cleveland, except the Cavaliers kind of spoil that to stay unbeaten, improving to 5-0. They hammer the Lakers last night in the land, despite Bronny James scoring his first NBA basket with just over 2 minutes remaining.
Yeah, congratulations. By the way, this topic was so hot yesterday, Ben, that we actually had, you know, Kevin Walsh bomb into the show yesterday on his day off. Whoa. On Moneyline, just to try to get his point across after I flamed Bronny James. We'll probably talk about this a little bit more later in the show. It's an embarrassment. We'll talk about that later, but I'll tell you what's even more better about that game. Cleveland turns the 5-0 and looks like a really good basketball team here in 2024-2025. That's what I took away from the game.
The Lakers, after starting unbeaten, now have dropped 2 straight. The Cavs cover as a 4.5-point favorite, the only undefeated side left in the Eastern Conference at 5-0. Why? The Celtics lose in overtime last night in a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals from a season ago, 135-132. Boston did crawl its way back, down by as many as 21 points early in the fourth quarter to force overtime, but Indiana holds on for a win in the extra session, 135-132. The Pacers win outright as a 7-point home underdog.
Yeah, by the way, the Celtics shot 57 triples last night. Yes, it was overtime. How about this contrast? Tatum, 5 of 18, which you'll take. Brown on the opposite side of that, 1 for 11 from three-point range. I had the over yesterday, so I was quite happy with that outcome.
Yes, you were, DRS. Total close somewhere around 228 and a hook. In overtime, it skies over. Huge game for Carl Anthony Towns. His best as a New York Knick. 44 points last night to lead the Knickerbockers to a road win in South Florida against the Miami Heat, 116-107.
I mean, you got to love that. When Brunson goes for 22 points, we have somebody else doubling him up, which was Carl Anthony Towns. We knew it would take a little bit of time for this Knicks team to gel. That's a good win yesterday on the road. And Carl Anthony Towns, welcome officially to New York.
44 points, 13 boards, hit 4 triples. That's why you go get Cat. I guess they're calling him the Big Bodega. Don't love that nickname. Anyway, elsewhere around the NFL, a new week starts tonight. It is week number 9. We'll talk about the Jets and the Texans in just a little bit. But DRS, Dave Canales making the call despite Andy Dalton being healthy. It's Bryce Young's show once again in Carolina. Good luck, Bryce.
Yeah, they're going to get smashed in that football game, but you have to do this. Andy Dalton doesn't serve a purpose anymore. Find out what you have in the kid, and even in games that you're going to get your head exploded, just see how he performs and how he handles himself. That's about all you can look forward to for the rest of the way.
Panthers 7.5-point dog against the Saints at home on Sunday. Derek Carr expected to return. Jordan Love did not practice yesterday, DRS, dealing with the injured groin, but says he will not rule himself out for Sunday against the Lions.
Come get this butt whipping is what we're saying in Detroit here, as I am an official Lions fan, and they will be handing out butt whippings to Green Bay, whether Love is in or Love is out.
Detroit 3.5-point road favorite in Lambeau, a line that I would not expect to see Jordan Love play in that game. Lamar Jackson misses practice yesterday for the Baltimore Ravens, DRS.
Not worried at all. Not worried at all. Get that rest up, Lamar Jackson. Get that MVP turned. You got an extra wide receiver. You're going to be back sooner than later. Love to see it, Lamar. Don't worry. Just take your time.
The Ravens, 9.5-point home favorite against the Broncos on Sunday. More of the early line, a World Series recap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number 5 of the 2024 World Series. Last night inside Yankee Stadium up in the Bronx. The Pinstripes trying to make history for the first time in World Series history when a team has held a 3-0 series advantage, trying to at least force a Game 6 and a trip back to Los Angeles to head to Dodger Stadium. LA trying to hold on to win a World Series in 5 and not give New York any semblance of life. And early on, it felt like the Yanks would make that history. Gerrit Cole, an otherworldly performance on the bump. Aaron Judge awoken with a two-run shot in the first, followed back-to-back by Jazz Chisholm. Giancarlo Stanton continuing to deliver at the dish. And then DRS in Game 5, it was the fifth inning. A disastrous, and I mean disastrous, defensive display out of New York that you could argue with the significance and the context of that stage might be the worst defensive inning we have seen in Major League Baseball playoff history. 2 confirmed errors and 1 play that was officially not scored an error but an infield hit for Mookie Betts that might be the worst defensive woe of them all. The Dodgers played 5 in the 5th. They tie the game. The Yankees take the lead just an inning later, but the Dodgers rally again. In the 8th, 2 sack flies. That's all that needed to happen as the Dodgers make history of their own. The largest comeback deficit to clinch a World Series ever. 7-6 in game number 5, the second World Series championship for the Dodgers in the last 5 seasons.
Who's to say Cole wasn't going to go 9 innings pitch yesterday with a shutout in a complete game in the World Series to force a game number 6? That's where we were headed. And I think you're right, because sometimes we get caught up in being a, you know, creature of the moment and what we see, and we're captivated by that. You say, oh, that was the worst inning I've ever seen. We say that's the best catch I've ever seen. That's the best touchdown. That's the best comeback. This might have been, in playoff history, no lie, the worst inning you will ever see. You're looking at a guy on first base, you know, to lead off the inning. A simple fly ball to center field. And the worst part about it was Judge misplays that ball, which I don't even know how he does that. Takes his eye off it.
Yeah.
But he probably should have just been able to pick it up and throw it to second base, but it got away from him and the runner was still able to get there. That's fine. Then you have the terrible play by Volpe, which he basically just spiked the javelin throw into the ground when he was 15 feet away from third base and Jazz Chisholm. And then the worst one, maybe even of all of those, which again, the Judge one's probably graded worse because that's just a simple can of corn fly ball right to you. But the fact that Anthony Rizzo figured the pitcher was coming over, but the pitcher figured Rizzo is, you learn that day number 1 of spring training. Whenever you have pitchers and catchers report, what's the first thing that they show? Pitchers on the mound not throwing the baseball, but simulating throwing the baseball and running to first base. It's second nature. The fact that you didn't even get Gerrit Cole to run over to first base because he figured you had it, that's like saying, Ben, in Little League Baseball, we always the bases. How many times you see the catcher run up the first baseline just to back up a throw with the third baseline to do the same thing? It's just ingrained in you. And the fact that he forgot in the biggest moment, which would have got them out of the inning with no runs scored, and they would have won that baseball game, horrible across the board. It's amazing that Major League Baseball players made 3 of those errors in the same inning to cost themselves the game.
So again, play-by-play breakdown. As we go to the 5th inning, Gerrit Cole was delivering DRS like an ace is supposed to with a season at stake. He had allowed 2 base runners on 2 walks, had not allowed a base hit entering the 5th inning to stifle everything that LA's offense was trying to do. Kike Hernandez leads the inning off with the first base knock against Cole last night, but it really seemed like that might be it. Tommy Edman hits a soft liner to center. Aaron Judge, boop, right off the mitt. No idea how it happened. Then the next batter, after a ground ball to Anthony Volpe that he makes a really good diving stop in the hole, he tries to go to third to get the force out, spikes the throw. Not a great play in my estimation of the 3 defensive miscues in that inning. The least offensive one, if I do say so myself. And then DRS, with the bases loaded, Gerrit Cole steps up again. strikes out Gavin Lux, strikes out Shohei Ohtani. Yeah. We'll talk about his World Series and the injured shoulder that I'm sure will deflect some of the responsibility and blame. But Shohei up with the bases loaded in a 5-0 game. Oh, boy, the Dodgers could have been back in it with a swing of the bat. Anyway, it leads to Mookie Betts, who hits a soft ground ball off the end of the bat to first base. Anthony Rizzo, some weird spin on it, stays back, doesn't charge. Gerrit Cole does not cover the bag, and instead DRS goes, "You, Rizzo, you, go, go." It was almost like the Bears fans telling Tyreek Stevenson to get back into the play because the ball had been snapped. Either way, Mookie Betts legs it out, beats it to first. The inning continues and a run is scored. And if you give the Dodgers opportunities, they will take advantage. Freddie Freeman, 2 RBI single. Teoscar Hernandez rips one off the wall for 2 more runs scored for LA. Freddie Freeman steps up once again. The Dodgers are the welcome recipients of a disastrous fifth inning, and they had to storm back once more in the eighth. Donnie, there is so much to break down from this game, but a lot of focus and attention on this Thursday morning, looking back on game 5, will be that fifth inning for New York.
Very simple. And there's a lot of blame to go around because sometimes, like, you know, hard rocket shots up the middle, you know, trying to turn a tough double play, you throw the ball away at first base. Like, things happen. We understand that. But we never expect, like, little league mistakes to be made. And again, you could take out the Volpe play because that's something that you'll see quite frequently. You expect a guy to make a better play on that, make a better throw. We understand that. But a simple fly ball to center field dropped, followed by everybody, as I said, as a pitcher and a catcher, has that ingrained to them all the way throughout their years. You always make a run to first base, regardless if the play is going to be made or not, because you never know when you're going to be there. And just how big it was. Like, it wasn't like, okay, the game was already 5-5. You made that mistake. As I said, to start off my analysis here, Gerrit Cole was on his way to pitching a complete game shutout. He was that dominant and that filthy. And coming into that inning, what, maybe 50 total pitches? He was on his way here. The Yankees still did get the lead later, but that was the inning that collapsed it, because I was already saying, how are the Dodgers going to handle their bullpen the way out? Because we're headed to a game 6. How is this going to play out? Credit the Dodgers for never giving up and making those plays and keeping the pedal to the metal here. That's why they won. But my goodness, you're going to look back at that inning for decades and decades and decades for Yankee fans.
DRS, Gerrit Cole stayed in the game. He pitched into the 7th after Giancarlo Stanton put the Yanks ahead in the 6th with another clutch RBI, a sac fly. Cole was still in line for the win and, of course, did not register an earned run in the 5th inning either. Plenty more from the World Series next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to recap the ending of the World Series in game number 5. DRS, what might be lost in how history looks back on the 5th game of the 2024 Fall Classic, and of course everybody's eyeballs on that 5th inning, the Yankees took a lead once again. Giancarlo Stanton, who has been clutch offensively at the plate for the Pinstripes all postseason long, sac fly in the home half of the 6th. Gerrit Cole was still pitching into the 7th inning with a lead in line for a win after somehow, some way, not entirely sure how baseball scores things, but did not allow an earned run in the 5th inning, despite giving up a couple of legitimate base runners. Regardless, the Yankees had a lead. Then in the 8th, the Dodgers get to Tommy Kahnle. They get a couple of runners on. Base is loaded. Boone makes the bullpen call. Luke Weaver comes in. A couple of hard hit enough fly balls into the outfield and a couple of sack flies puts the Dodgers ahead for good, 7-6. Blake Treinen continues to work out of jams. And Donnie, if we will for just a second, Walker Buehler getting a save in the 9th inning. Shut out baseball when it matters most. 3 up, 3 down. What a postseason. What a ride for this guy. A few years ago was the Dodgers' future, the ace of the pitching staff. Deals with 2 Tommy John surgeries, misses nearly 2 calendar years of baseball. Came back in the regular season. It wasn't pretty. An ERA above a 5-3 number. In his opening start in the postseason against the Padres in San Diego, gets roughed up. Allowed 6 earned runs in the 2nd inning. And Dave Roberts keeps him in the game. He goes three scoreless innings after that, the third, fourth, and the fifth, including last night in his scoreless inning against the Yanks. He had 13 consecutive scoreless innings after that six-run second against San Diego in Game 3 of the NLDS. He is an absolute gamer and competitor. And with the Dodgers season at stake and a World Series on the line, who does Roberts turn to? Walker Buehler. And he comes through in a huge and monumental way.
Yeah, the bullpen was really good. And how do you like back-to-back nights like Luis Gil there for the New York Yankees? Not a great performance. How they still be able to pick up the victory? You tell me before that game, Flaherty goes 1 1/3 innings pitched, 4 earned runs. That game is over. And quite frankly, it should have been over. But that bullpen was tremendous. They were rested because game 5, they didn't use them for some odd reason. Used them in game number 6, which is what I wanted to see, if they would exhaust that bullpen knowing they had a day off the next day, but still had to play games 6 and 7. And a 5-0 game might have been a lost cause. But they still were throwing their best guys out of the bullpen to try to hang around, and the Yankees kicked that door open with those terrible errors, which allowed them to stay into. And also, have a Blake Treinen, 2 1/3 innings pitched, 1 hit given up there, and 3 strikeouts. He was absolutely tremendous going through the heart of that lineup in big moment after big moment after big moment. But you still see the champions are the Dodgers. We get that. They won 76 yesterday, but the takeaway from this almost feels like the Dodgers didn't win the World Series. Like, what the heck happened to the Yankees yesterday? And oh, yeah, the Dodgers won the World Series.
It's a good point, DRS. And of course, the Dodgers did hold a 3-0 series advantage. For the Yankees to even win a World Series crown would have been historic, obviously. For the Yankees, though, who were in line to do their small bit of history in a best-of-seven World Series and be the first team to ever fall in an 0-3 hole to force a return trip and a Game 6, they were close but faltered in that opportunity. And Donnie, it finally seemed yesterday like the Yankees were starting to figure it all out. Aaron Judge, monumental 400-foot home run, 2-run shot in the first, followed by a Jazz Chisholm solo shot as well. Giancarlo Stanton, another home run in the third, and Gerrit Cole was absolutely shoving. The Yankees will look back on the World Series and feel as though they wasted two gems of a start out of their ace in Gerrit Cole in the opening game on Friday and, of course, in game number 5 last night. But Cole, I guess, will have himself to blame as a huge part of why he felt like they wasted a great Gerrit Cole start in game number 5.
Yeah, they did. By the way, just I think you've stumbled onto something. Like, if you can get in touch with Jazz Chisholm's people now and come up with a T-shirt and split the profits 50-50 on Jazz Chisholm, I'm sure he would absolutely love that. That is tremendous at this point. But no, you're right.
Thank you.
All those topics that you hit on. We're going to get to some of these free agents for the New York Yankees and what possibly could happen. Because, Ben, I don't want to blow in this. I have, like, the stuff I hear sometimes from baseball players in particular absolutely blows my mind, and I can't wait to get into it. I really can't.
We will tie a bow on this World Series and on the season that was. Both teams matching expectation to reach this stage, and the Dodgers were a very short World Series favorite in the winter after the huge acquisitions of Ohtani and Yamamoto and Glasnow and Teoscar Hernandez in the offseason. They capitalized on that ticket. How the season came to a close and the guy that won the World Series MVP next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Dodgers are World Series champs for the 8th time in franchise history. For the 2nd time in the last 5 years, all right, the COVID-shortened 2020 season doesn't count, you say? Fine. For the first time in a full season since 1988. And what happened in game number 1 of the 88 Fall Classic? A hobbled Kirk Gibson, a walk-off home run for LA. What happened in game number 1 of the 2024 Fall Classic? A hobbled Freddie Freeman, a walk-off grand slam, the first ever walk-off grand salami in the history of Major League Baseball playoff action in a World Series. And Donnie, when all is said and done, of course, it was Frederick to win World Series MVP. Look at the numbers for Freddie Freeman. A .300 average, 4 home runs in the set, hitting a home run in all 4 of the first games of this World Series in 12 RBIs. And last night, when it mattered most in that wild fifth inning. The Dodgers take advantage of the Yankees' miscues. It was Freddie Freeman up at the dish. A two RBI single to get the Dodgers back into it. 5-3. 33-1. The number on Freddie Freeman to win World Series MVP, tied for the ninth shortest entering the Fall Classic. Why? He missed a few games in the opening two rounds with that ankle injury. But when it mattered most, Freddie Freeman shines once again.
It's one of those players, too. Like, he played a long time in Atlanta. I can't stand the Atlanta Braves. But it was never like, I really hate Freddie Freeman. You hated him because he was a great player, but he seems like the nicest guy. And the same thing with the Dodgers. How many times do you see, like, a performer on the biggest stage, like, man, I'm just getting tired of this guy, hearing about him every night? Nobody got tired of Freddie Freeman because he's a great guy off the field and an unbelievable player on the field that goes from the Braves and heads over to the Dodgers in the big city and goes, you know what? I'm going to fit right in on this baseball team. And the biggest moments was absolutely swinging. Let's go back to game number one. Let's just say he hits a harmless 275-foot fly ball and the Yankees win that game. Who knows where we would be sitting today? Moments like that go down ingrained in history. You'll remember that Grand Slam home run the same way you would Kirk Gibson, what, 25 to 30 years previous before that in Dodgers lore. It was that big of a hit to jumpstart that series where you were looking at going down 0-1 and, oh no, the Yankees might get some momentum. They're going to have home field advantage now, to one swing of the bat saying, we got this, guys. Don't worry about it. Our big name performers will certainly perform like Freddie Freeman did. I was so impressed with what he did, and you're right about it. Battling and fighting through injuries and still coming through in the biggest moments time and time again. So impressive. Well-deserved MVP.
DRS, Freddie Freeman is from Fountain Valley, California, in the OC, obviously neighboring Los Angeles, as DRS knows well. He returned home to start 2022 following a World Series victory with the Atlanta Braves. But if you remember, they could not agree on a big money deal. So Freddie finds that value with the Dodgers. He has won an MVP in the 2020 shortened season and now a World Series MVP, becoming the 12th guy to say that in MLB history. 10 of the previous 11 in the world, in the Hall of Fame. The only guy not in Cooperstown, that would be Pete Rose. DRS, as we look at the Dodgers in the end of this year, the Dodgers at a point early in the postseason because of the injury woes on the starting staff and how hot the Padres were entering this postseason, were no longer the World Series or NL pennant favorites. But for a good majority of this season, when the odds were out, the Dodgers were the short favorites to win a World Series crown. And how could they not be? The acquisitions of Shohei Ohtani, of Yoshinobu Yamamoto, of Tyler Glasnow, and Teoscar Hernandez made this an all-star lineup and rotation entering the season. So this was the expectation. World Series championship or bust. They did not. They end up on top of that mountain as a World Series champ, despite some of the pitching injuries and despite Shohei Ohtani. And again, we'll look back on his legacy. He's going to win an NL MVP award this year, his first ever time in the postseason, and his MLB career ends with a World Series crown. But dealing with the injured left shoulder, just 2-for-19 at the dish throughout this Fall Classic.
Yeah, he struggled, certainly. And we don't know how much that shoulder injury really played into it, because he wasn't like, hey, man, every swing he puts out there looks like he's swinging half speed. He was absolutely tomahawking last night. Just couldn't make contact all that much with the baseball. But for the Dodgers, you see, they had a great season, but the expectations were to have a great season. This wasn't the little engine that could, like a couple years ago when the Kansas City Royals won the World Series. They were expected to win the World Series at the highest payroll in baseball. That's what you're going to do. But they did have adversity because you lost a lot of those pitchers. And me coming into the playoffs thought the Dodgers won 1-9, maybe the most talented, but outside of that, I didn't think their starting pitching and also flash bullpen was the best there. I didn't think they'd get past the Padres, and they faced adversity in that Padres series, and a bullpen game actually was the pinnacle there, which helped thrust them into the chance to win the pennant. So I was impressed by the Dodgers playoff run. I didn't think they'd win it, but also we have to remind ourselves it's a couple $100 million payroll, and get ready for this, people. That payroll is going to increase next year as they continue to sign free agents. Get ready for it.
Uh-oh, is Donnie starting something already? Because, of course, DRS for the Yankees. This year will be looked back on as a success, I would imagine, although it was rather embarrassing to lose the World Series in the fashion New York did. Down in an 0-3 hole, winning Game 4, should have probably come out on top in Game 5 to remember that fifth inning in the Dodgers' historic comeback. The Yankees won an American League pennant for the first time in 15 years. Since 2000. 2009. That was the last World Series championship for this New York franchise. And of course, that is how the pinstripes are judged. Not 100 wins, not an AL East divisional crown, heck, not even a deep run in October. It's pennants, and maybe more than that, it's World Series titles. So for the Yankees to get there was significant for New York. But now, the winter is ahead. Aaron Judge had a great Game 5, but not a great postseason for New York once again. Most of the offense was spurred by Giancarlo Stanton and one Juan Soto, who after the game, DRS, was asked about his impending free agency and said, I don't know who's going to be courting me. I play for all 30 teams. Scott Boras has his guy in line early in this offseason. DRS, I'll ask it like this. Do you believe Juan Soto is wearing pinstripes to start 2025?
I think he will, but let's expound on the issue here. You give an athlete a microphone, and Aaron Judge did the same thing last year. I remember the beat reporter, right, whoever it was, for ESPN said, Aaron, what do you say to the fans out there like that really want you back as a Yankee? And he basically told them with that, you know, with a paraphrase, there's other Yankees that are really good if I'm not here. And I said, I just don't understand this. So flip it over to Juan Soto. Here's how you do it. And Scott Boras, I guess you just don't have a team that sets your players up for success in their own city. Juan, what do you feel about being a free agent here? Number one, I just had the most fun I ever had being a Yankee. I would love to be here long term. It's my favorite, even if it's not, it's my favorite place. I always wanted to be a Yankee growing up. And behind the scenes, he understands 32 teams will be calling him wanting to get a contract. But when you answer as a Yankee in big moments, just tell them you want to be here forever. You ingrain yourself, because if you do come back, they will love you for life. Bryce Harper might have wanted to be a Yankee in free agency, but the minute he signed with the Phillies, you know what he came out and said? I always wanted to be here. This is where I want to raise my family. I never want to leave. And regardless if you're playing well or not, you get the benefit of the doubt after that. Why are you telling people I'm open for business here? Say to the Yankee fans, I love you guys and I want to be back. And they will put exponential amounts of pressure on that organization to make sure they sign you for top dollar, because why? You wanted to be a Yankee, idiot.
Maybe he doesn't want to be a Yankee. Maybe he knows he can garner top dollar elsewhere in the marketplace. We know about Shohei Ohtani's record deal and all of the deferred money. Juan Soto is going to get close. He turned 26 on the day of game number one of this World Series on Friday. He is only 26. He is a World Series champion. He has now played for three MLB clubs. This, of course, his only year in New York after the trade with the Padres in the offseason. We shall see, DRS, and we do have our guide Craig Mish here in our third hour to look at the daily bases, the recap of the World Series and the Fall Classic, and for Donnie to start sources of sources to start getting the tweets out there early for the hot stove. I can already see how excited you are.
Trout to Philly, you know it's coming. Craig Mish. By the way, people, I didn't want to give this away. Craig Mish is going to come on and say Trout to Philadelphia, and we're going to get sources going. The hot stove is here, baby. Let's go.
When one baseball season ends, another is not far behind. NBA action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A busy night around the association in the NBA, including a homecoming back in the land for the James family. LeBron James and his son, Bronny, taking on their hometown teams, I guess, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, the Cavs kind of spoil the warm reception with a 24-point win as the Cavs improve to a perfect 5-0, the last remaining undefeated team in the Eastern Conference, one of two left around the association. Oklahoma City joining them in that distinction. Cleveland easily covers DRS as a 4.5-point favorite. Total of 226 and a hook does go over. The Lakers started a perfect 3-0. They have now dropped two straight. A warm reception and welcome to the James family. Bronny James checking in for his second NBA action in five games because the Lakers were getting blown out in the fourth, and he records his first bucket. A jumper with just over 2 minutes remaining. They cut to LeBron on the bench. A smile, a celebration. Nah, he was talking to AD because his team was getting beat by 20. Regardless, the Cavs are perfect. The Lakers have dropped two straight.
And the best part about this, we never have to talk about Bronny James again. He'll be banished to the G League. Who knows if he ever gets called up again. But it's a shame that this charade had to go on this long. And I was talking to Kevin yesterday. It would have been simple to me because we always knew this was a charade. Like, let's look at the schedule. Okay, let's have this photo moment for our family, game number one. And then, oh my goodness, look at this. We got Cleveland in a couple games. We'll be able to do that photo moment again. But you know, you could have hit it there and played stupid if you were J.J. Redick. You should have played Bronny James 2 minutes in every game building up to that and act like he was actually a part of the rotation. Well, we knew he wasn't, but it would have been good to try to, you know, overshadow that. So for him to play for a photo op in game number one, then wait to go to Cleveland for a photo op in game number two, then get banished to the G League. I hope there's a lot of posters and a lot of remembrance. Cause I guess, you know, like, and I look at it on my phone, like every day it pops like, hey, do you remember what you did last year? And LeBron and Bronny like, hey man, look at that. You actually played the basketball game with me last year. Wasn't that a fun time? Go out of the way, son. Good luck. And hopefully get those packages there delivered by UPS on time.
You're saying the James family will look back on this week, these last two weeks, pretty much just as a time hop memory as they open up their phone?
Like LeBron, like, oh, do you remember? That's right. Bronny, you got it. You did score in that game, Bronny. You did. Congratulations. You know, let me save this and not erase this. I love this. I completely forgot about that. Yep.
That's almost the meanest take somehow, some way of all the fiery takes that I have seen around the Bronny James situation. He did play last night, 5 minutes, as you saw, one of two from the floor and 2 points. The Lakers have already shared that they are going to put him in the G League for development after this road trip that really kind of culminates with this Cleveland homecoming for the James family.
Let me ask you a question, Matt. Hold on. Ask you a question because sometimes things just pop into my head. I have to get out. Like, did they stop the game like they were, like when you get your first goal and you get the puck or the baseball, the first hit? Did they throw that basketball out as he gets to keep that? Like, was it that momentous of an occasion that he got the first two points?
I believe they continued to play with that basketball. Okay. Did he get it after the game? Was it a Giannis situation like we saw a year or two ago when they stole the ball? I don't really know. It was really good, though, Donnie, because the cameras go, as they should have, right, for a cutaway to LeBron on the bench. But his team's getting blown out by 20. That jumper from Bronny cut the deficit from 22 to 20. And now the Lakers have dropped two straight. So instead of even just sitting on the bench and being like, all right, cool. He's in full-blown conversation with AD to kind of figure out what has gone wrong for the Lakers in these last two games. You know, here's my take on the entire situation. Yes, of course, there's been a lot made of it. It was a celebration for the James family. It's a reward for LeBron to be in the league for 22 years and to call the shots and to dictate things. But if you think this is the first year that's happening, you're naive and have not been following the NBA for a very long time. If you think, oh man, it's nepotism and the guy doesn't deserve it, welcome to the world in every other industry that there is. That's kind of what it is, a celebration, a photo op. And the James family now has a time hop to look back on, says one Donnie Rightside. All right, elsewhere in the NBA, Cleveland wins by 24 and covers DRS again. The Cavaliers, the only undefeated team left in the Eastern Conference because the Celtics suffered their first loss of the year last night in Indianapolis. In a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Pacers come out on the winning end this time, but it was not easy. 135-102 in overtime. DRS, the Seas were down by as many as 21 points early in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Boston rallies to force the extra session. Pascal Siakam and Indiana close out at the end. You were happy. Total of 235.5 does sky over. The Pacers win outright on their home floor as a 7-point underdog.
It's crazy how many three-point shots that the Celtics are going to shoot this season. Could it be fun? It's great for props because you got Tatum shooting 18 of them. By the way, Derek White, very measured with his 5-for-5 from three-point range. But this was a really good win by the Pacers. Miles Turner didn't even play in this game due to an ankle injury and still able to win. And you're right, Ben. It looked like they were going to win in blowout fashion, but credit the Celtics for coming back. What's the ultimate equalizer in college basketball and in the NBA? Shoot three-point shots at an unbelievable clip, because if they go down, even the lead can be, you know, 15, 20, 20 points, you can cut into that, and they did. But credit the Pacers. Used all that energy to come back from the Celtics, and you were still as the Pacers, deflated as you might have been heading to overtime, still able to come away with that victory. That's pretty good.
So two undefeated teams left in the association. Cleveland out east, Oklahoma City in the Western Conference. OKC, 12-point home favorite, closing number against Victor Wembanyama in the Spurs last night. And they win by 12, so a push off the spread. 221.5 stays well under. Not only at OKC, covered in all three of their first wins. They had, of course, won all three of those. A perfect 4-0. They have not failed to cover a number or at least lost against the spread this year. San Antonio DRS, a dog in all four games this season. Now 1-2-1 against the number. Under in three straight. Maybe it's because the Spurs aren't great offensively, or they have the guy that's going to win Defensive Player of the Year in Wemby on that side of the floor as well.
What is going on, by the way? 27 minutes, 1 of 5 from the floor. The guy's 7-9. He should be shooting every single time, uncontested down the court he gets. How does he get 5 buckets here, 5 looks at the rim? Come on, fire Popovich, man. Fire that guy. What's he ever done?
Oh, only 6 points for Wembanyama. NFL headline next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL news and notes that you need as a new week begins tonight. It is week number 9, Thursday night football in MetLife between the Jets and the Texans. We will preview TNF to start off our second hour. Yesterday, DRS, Jordan Love did not practice in Green Bay, but when asked in the post-game or post-practice press conference in that locker room how realistic it is for him to play in the huge NFC North divisional duel on Sunday in Lambeau against the Lions, Love said, quote, "I think it's realistic." Also, quote, "not ideal for trying to play in a game if he could play without practicing this week." Donnie, the Packers, a 3.5-point home underdog as of this moment, hosting perhaps the best team in the National Football League, your Detroit Lions. To me, that spread indicates Jordan Love is not going to play or expected to play at this moment. It will be Malik Willis.
And also, if he does, a groin injury to a quarterback, you might not think, like, oh, he could just stand in the pocket. Like, you ever throw a pass? You ever do anything athletic with an injured groin at this point? It strains either way you move in the pocket. You try to sidestep somebody. You try to just get out of the way and maybe get a better throwing lane. It hinders you all the time, which means, you know, Jordan Love's a pretty athletic quarterback. He's used to be able to make plays with his legs. That wouldn't happen. First rule in the National Football League, why you can play and you can't play if you're a quarterback, can you protect yourself out there? And if you can't get out of the way, you can't play, which means Malik Willis is going to probably show up on Sunday. And I do think that the Detroit Lions should be favored if Jordan Love is down. And also to have the conversation of Jordan Love early in his career, I think he's a great quarterback. Sometimes he does get a little turnover happy, but you can see the talent and he really works in that Green Bay system. But here's the issue now, Ben. Game number one, had an injury. Now we're talking about halfway through the season, another injury. This is starting to pile up here. We're not saying he's injury prone per se, but we're not even getting those separated shoulder, broken leg type injuries. We're getting those soft tissue ones, which is something to worry about and can linger here. I don't think he's going to play on Sunday. I think either way, if he plays or doesn't play, Detroit's going to win. But if I'm being honest, I can't have an injured quarterback in the pocket. Malik Willis has done a fine job being a reserve quarterback and being a professional once he gets into the games. Who's to say that he won't be the better option if Love just can't get out of the way?
And they've designed schemes for Malik Willis to excel, and he has. DRS, of course, the third-round draft pick by the Titans back in 2022. Started a few games for Tennessee to end out his rookie year. Did not look good. Did not throw a touchdown pass during his 2 years in Nashville. Has thrown a touchdown pass in all three games. He has played at least a quarter for Green Bay. Of course, subbed in late in the Sao Paulo Brazilian opener after Jordan Love was injured against the Eagles. Listen, I'm not saying the Packers would be a field goal favorite at home if Jordan Love was anticipated to start and play. I think the line would probably be closer to a pick 'em. And DRS, like you, I'm not sure it matters. The Lions are an absolute wagon right now that I don't think you want to step in front of. But a huge NFC North game as Detroit is 6-1. The Packers, because of how great Malik Willis has been, 6-2 this year. The Carolina Panthers have made their call. Bryce Young remains their starting quarterback. Donnie, like you said, it's the right decision, right? See what he's got left, even if it's trade value in the offseason. I think the situation has soured in Charlotte. You almost feel bad for the guy, though, because it's not a recipe for success for his career to get back on track.
No, and sometimes, as we know, it's not really where you're drafted as opposed to one, two, or three in the order. It's where you're drafted as a city and an organization. And he did get a raw deal. There was nobody that said he was coming out of Alabama and didn't think he could translate into the pros. Yes, was he smaller in stature than some other players? Of course. But that guy performed in big moments at Alabama. There's no reason to believe that he shouldn't have been a great quarterback at Carolina. But we say this a lot. You see some of the organizations out there that are setting up their young quarterbacks for success and getting them weapons here. Case in point, Jaden Daniels, and completely rebuilt team here. A new head coach comes in. You got him a college-style offensive coordinator that's working wonders with him, and he has talent all across the board in the backfield, on the offensive line, tight end, wide receiver, you name it. Same thing with Caleb Williams in Chicago. Bryce never had that in Carolina, and sometimes just getting into those good habits, which allow you. Because he should make it up on his own. Do you understand when you're a young quarterback trying to work your way through progressions where you can't even get to your second progression, number one, because nobody's open because your wideouts stink, and number two, your offensive line can't protect you? That's devastating on a career right now, and that's what he got. Hopefully he can land somewhere else and, like, go to Kansas City and be a backup quarterback for a year or two. Then we'll see if you have what it takes to be an NFL quarterback after that.
Bryce Young in his return as the starter for Carolina against Denver in Mile High on Sunday, 24 of 37, 224 yards, two touchdowns, but two INTs. He did throw a touchdown late. A lot of that yardage did come late. It was the first time in 13 games, or just the second time in his last 13, I should say, Bryce Young threw for more than 200 yards, which I guess is a small positive. The Panthers, a 7.5-point home dog against the Saints on Sunday. Derek Carr expected a return for New Orleans. More quarterback news and a preview of Thursday night when hour two starts next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.